Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Elsie Seda in gorgeous South Pasadena, and I have my good friend and co-host Margaret Sheldon in Boston on the line. How are you, my dear?
I'm great. I'm great. Marathon Monday has come and gone, so Boston is back to normal, but it's a pretty exciting time around here, so it's all good.
Yay.
Yeah.
So, what's new?
Well, let's see. I was driving along this morning. I had a lot of errands to do early, and I mean really early. Got them all done, and I was thinking about what's new since last week. And I thought, you know, I've had a couple of great sort of acceptances recently into juried shows. And then I had the inevitable rejection from from a residency program. And I thought, isn't it funny that I am always surprised when I'm rejected?
That's awesome. I think that's so great.
I thought,
that
is
you
that
look at
ego
it that way.
Or is that just, you know, being naive? Like, I was like, gosh, I can't believe they didn't accept me.
You know what? That's fantastic. That is so great. I'm so happy for you.
You know what it does? It really fires me up, kind of the old, like, I know what I need to do. So, yeah, it's all good. I have to admit, I feel like in my head, I have an entire show about how you have to, because this is my life right now, how you have to separate the things that get in the way of your art. Sometimes you just have to let it go. But I feel like I've had a lot of interruptions lately, and I'm really chomping at the bit to get some painting done. So I guess
I was
good.
Painting
about
this morning before the show, which is pretty good since it's only 9 o'clock here.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm doing abstracts, crazy abstracts with squirt bottles and everything. It's so much fun. Oh my gosh,
I love
it's incredible. Very large commissions, but it's very fun. But no, I have big news. This is a big week for the AHA show.
Go ahead.
April 15th, 2010 was our first show. So we are celebrating this week our 7-year anniversary. Now, if you do the math and you assume we did 50 shows a year, which is probably right.
That's about right.
I don't think we've ever missed more than two. Usually it's like Thanksgiving and Christmas because they sometimes fall on a Thursday or always. That means, do you realize the math on that?
That
so now
is
when
amazing.
People say, hey, have you ever done a show on so-and-so? And I go,
yeah.
350 shows. That's just crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy.
You
but
know,
yeah.
it makes a great case for folks going in and looking at the archives, because there are some pretty amazing shows back there. And I'm sure lots more in the future, but it just goes to show you those are all stored and you can access them anytime. But good job, Leslie. I don't think I'd love to do a count of how many times I've done it. It's just a fraction of yours. Kind of like the Instagram.
I've done it every time. It's so
Let's
weird.
Hear it. Let's go. Instagram, what are you up to?
8,811. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's still super, super fun. I absolutely love it. It's just been incredible. So, I'm having the time of my life. And, you know, I launched this blog. It's www.my100-year-old-home. And that has been really fun because I've been sharing a lot of craft projects and a whole bunch of really good tips and things I collect. And it's true, genuine, fun creativity and a little humor mixed in there as well. So
it's
just been really awesome, I have to say. Really, really fun. So I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
Busy lady. Well, I'm impressed, of course. Who wouldn't be to be closing in on 9,000? I'm almost at 280. I've got 279. If anybody out there wants to push me to 280, I'll be thrilled.
So, yay, Margaret. I did want to mention I might be going on a trip next week. I don't know, which is so weird because it's a huge international trip, but it's all dependent upon whether or not my son's volleyball team wins tonight. And then if they win tonight, they have to win on Saturday. But I kind of hope I'm not going because I want more than anything in the world for my son's team to win.
Uh-huh.
And the worst case scenario means, oh, darn, I get to go to New Zealand. But anyway, when I get back, I do have a marketing boot camp in Georgia It's May 15th through 18th. There's a couple of spots left, not too many. It's actually at Lake Oconee. My brother and his wife, he married my best friend like 28 years ago. My best, most successful matchup to date. Anyway, I'm using their home on the lake, and it's gorgeous. And it's 3 days of super, super intense finding your audience, finding your brand, understanding what you want to do. And if you want to make a big difference in your art, that's the way to do it. I'm telling you, this is the best thing I do. It really is. Best
Amazing.
Thing I do. Super fun.
Let's talk about, I'm going to ask you a question that popped into my mind. But if someone were to fly into Atlanta, how long does it take to get to Lake Okeechobee or whatever it is?
Oconee. It's like an hour and 5 minutes, hour and 10
okay.
minutes. Yeah, so
it's
not too far.
Yeah,
yeah. It's and it's so worth it. Oh, it's so pretty there.
Oh, what fun. So, and what a beautiful time of year.
It is. I'm really excited.
Even though I only have a mere 279 followers, I have to admit I'm on Instagram every day. And any of these Southerners, their gardens are just, it's killing me.
Oh, I know. It's
everything
unbelievable.
Bloom.
Yeah.
I'm so envious. So anyway, I'd like to get a little spring in my life.
That reminds me, on my art blog called The Everyday Life of a Working Artist, all week I've been talking about hashtags and Instagram. And go read those. Start on Monday because it's kind of a sequential post. Do please read it because there's some really good stuff in there on how to use hashtags and how to find your audience with hashtags. So just go to my website and click on blog, and that'll give you some really good pointers. So just
yes, I followed Leslie's advice one day, and I have to admit, truly shocked because it worked so immediately. I mean, I thought this is uncanny. Didn't I call you and say
you did? You were like,
I will never doubt you again. Unbelievable. So, yeah, that hashtag
thing. Yes, you'll never doubt me again.
Never,
I love that.
Never.
You are so funny. You
never.
Are so funny.
It's just easier
okay, so,
to believe.
I know. Okay, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
In December of last year, were you on the original show when we did this, Margaret? I can't remember. Was that you?
Give me the topic.
No, where we talked about 12 things you're going to do all of 2017
yeah,
to get your
yes.
art business all organized. Okay. This is the one that I can't wait to see the stats on this show because, okay, when you talk about accounting systems with artists, I think we all just shut down. So, because it's just not like, it has nothing to do with creativity. It's something I personally hate. I don't know about you. And every month we have a project to take on. So already this year we've taken on, what have we done? We've organized our pictures on our computers. We've organized
our
files.
In our offices.
In our office. We've organized stuff on our, not just our pictures, but everything else on our computers.
Yeah.
I think next month is organizing our studios. Yay, because I'm going to need that when I get
these
big canvases.
Oh, I hope
I'm
in on that one. Yeah, I am. I'm here next month.
Oh, you are.
Good.
Good, you are. But this week is about organizing your accounting systems for your art business. And it's kind of appropriate since tax day was this week.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm curious how many of you listening filed a tax report that included your sales income for your art business. Because if you did not, just so you know, and I looked this up yesterday, the IRS still considers you a business once you earn more than $400 in revenue in a given year. I thought it was $600, but even that, I know there's a ton of people out there who don't declare this. Now, here's the problem. A lot of people are thinking, well, I have expenses, so I don't even make $400. But technically, you still have to declare it, and then you deduct your expenses. And if you're just starting out, or if you've been in business for 10 years, and you declare this on your personal income tax, you know, all those deductions are a really good thing. Mm-hmm. So, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that technically, if you make more than $400 in revenue, you need to declare it. All of this advice we're going to give you today has to be superseded by professional advice from either your spouse, a friend, your accountant, whomever. Because Margaret and I are just going to share kind of our personal experiences and research
Correct.
That we've done. But when it comes to exactly what you have to do, do not take our advice as the final and only thing. Hopefully it will stir you to get some professional help.
Well, that's right, because, you know, the truth is I know so many artists who just sort of don't want to think about it. And you see them say, well, I don't sell that much. Or, but, you know, this is it's a legal issue. If you're selling goods and materials, you do have responsibilities. And, yes, there's the benefit of being able to write off and depreciate items. But, you know, you need to talk to whoever it is that's doing your taxes, whether that's your accountant, you know, even ask your a lawyer for advice.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you the advice is going to be that you need to file. And that's a whole lot easier if you have kept track of things. That I can say is if it's, you know, the golden rule. Keep track of everything.
That's why we're doing this, because I think it's really important to understand that if you're organized, this whole process is so much easier. So don't stop listening to this show because you're an artist and you hate doing accounting.
Yeah.
This is the reason why you need to listen to this show, because if you have a system set up, when it comes time to look at your business, it's amazing. I am always shocked whenever I do a consultation or anything and I ask an artist what their sales were last year or the year before. They have no idea.
Yeah.
And it's really important that you know that. And it's just don't get your personal tax situation in a huge mess because of a business that you forgot to declare. Does that make sense?
That's right. And I mean, I think there's nothing like having just filed your taxes to make you realize that maybe you need a better system to track.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you need to track both your costs, your expenses, and your income. So I think the first tip is try to get organized early in the year.
Right.
Because if you set something, I mean, you know, we'll talk about my little most basic thing that I did this year that made a huge difference. But I think if you come up with a system, you know, next year is just going to be that much easier. And I know that if you go too long, Leslie, didn't you just convert? You now have to file quarterly if you make over
what that is, in addition to filing my annual federal and state tax, which we do, I do with my husband, and that includes all of my art business and expenses and everything else. I also have to file an annual sales state tax report.
Oh.
And so, because I have to collect sales tax on anything I sell here in California, and then I have to give the state that money. I just got a notice in January saying, okay, now you get to do it four times a year. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But you know what? There's a silver lining there. And the silver lining means I have to do it once a quarter, so by the end of the year, it's all done.
Yeah.
And it's basically you have to, when you fill out this report, you have to fill out every dollar you took in, and then you deduct anything that's not taxable. So out-of-state sales, like tuition, obviously I don't charge tax on my workshops, anything like that. And then what's left over is all the sales you made in California and the percentage you collected on sales tax, and then that I have to rebate to the state. And it's like, okay, another thing.
But, you know, this is, I have to say, this is the price for being successful in your business. It's,
oh, true.
You know,
absolutely.
It isn't anything that every other small business owner doesn't do. And so I think, you know, as artists, if we're lucky enough to sell a painting, you bet the state of Massachusetts is going to get, you know, 6 or 7% of that right away. And it's important that you track that, because if you don't, there are penalties to be paid.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about state sales tax. And you, did you say 6 or 7%? Because we're at 8 or 9 in California. But it's no big deal, because you have to make sure you charge it. And if you charge it, all you're doing is then giving that fee back to the state, which is what they deserve. If you don't charge sales tax, you're dumb, because people expect to pay it. And it's a law. They have to pay it if they buy anything in your state. So get your systems in order and understand.
Massachusetts, you made me look. It's 6.25%.
Oh, it's all by
and
county
you know what else?
Here.
We have no sales tax on clothing.
What?
If it's over, if it's considered, you know, if it's a dress over $600, yes, you pay sales tax, because then it's considered a luxury and not a necessity. So come on and visit
Boston,
people.
I'm sorry, Boston, I think a dress over $200 is a luxury item. Go ahead.
I hear you. Okay.
Well, no, that makes sense. And the key to a good financial system is non-duplication. You need a system that requires the least amount of effort on your part and something that's totally automated and something that you don't have to do twice or three times.
Mm-hmm.
If you're calculate, and it's hard because as artists, we have money come in different buckets. We have money that comes in through PayPal. Some people, you know, people pay you online for PayPal. That's how I get paid for my workshops and for any online sales I do on my website. Then you maybe are at an art show and people pay you cash. Then you have people that write you checks. Mm-hmm. Then you have people that maybe you use Square instead of the PayPal here thing where you're swiping mm-hmm. credit cards. So you have so many different places where money comes in. You need to make sure that that all comes into one bucket so you have it all calculated in one area. Make sense?
That's true. Yep.
So, yeah, I know. So I use a system called Invoice2Go, and it's Invoice, the letter 2 and then G-O, to create all my invoices. And it's an app that's on my phone, my iPad, and my computer, and everything obviously is all integrated together. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but do some research on what's best for you. And start it right away, because otherwise every year come tax time or the end of the year, it's a complete disaster. And we're going to review and look at, like, I did a lot of research online, and every single, it's so weird. I think maybe they're all, I checked and they weren't paid advertisements, but every article I found picked like the same four or five systems to use for small business, which was great. So
it's always the way.
I know.
All right, so let's see. If we talk about, I hate to even use the word accounting, but that's what it is. It's accounting as, for a sole proprietor. You are the one and only person who owns and operates your business. There you go. Even the smallest businesses, though, really need to keep track of money. And you need to remember there's two parts to that. You need to track sales tax, and you need to track what you're going to need to pay in taxes. So the truth is that if you're a really small business, you're probably operating so close to the bone that every dollar is critical. And the truth is, whether you're an art business or you're selling something else, you're still going to need, if you want to make your life a little easier, some kind of accounting software. And you need it as much as the big guys do. And that's because I think two reasons, frankly. Number one is artists were not particularly inclined toward the mathematical computations. And number two, why would you want to spend all your time doing that? You want to be building your clientele and painting, quite honestly. But the problem is, when you look at what's out there, what you need and what a really big business needs are not going to be the same thing. So as the sole proprietor, you may have tried a cloud-based accounting system that was designed really for a larger business. And if you tried that in the past, you probably felt like you were paying for options and things that, you know, features you just didn't need. And I think the key here is to find something that kind of fits your needs, is user-friendly, and this is a really important part, it fits your budget. Because the truth is, you don't have to spend a lot of money to make this run smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be that you're doing the old tried and true system, which is keeping your books in a spreadsheet, or even like a spreadsheet, like an Excel spreadsheet, or even maybe like on paper. And it's really easy to understand how you would start that way. And sometimes it's just easier. You can open up a book, you have a ledger. I mean, hello, they did this for hundreds of years. And then you write everything in. But okay, in this day and age, there are some amazing accounting softwares that are really simple. You can access it from anywhere you are, your phone, your iPad, whatever. And there's offsite backup, which is super important. I mean, what if somehow you lost that ledger? That would be very scary. So it's just kind of like get with the program and take the jump. But we're not going to let you jump too far into something that's so complicated it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
that's the scary part. That's why most people don't, because they're like, I don't need that. It's just, you know, it's too much. It's too complicated. So.
Well, I think, you know, we looked at a lot of online accounting tools that were made for, you know, sole proprietors. And, you know, we kind of went through them and we looked at the features. And the truth is that the best of them are very affordable. You know, they have a mobile option, which is, I think, I have to say, for me, it would be critical, because the truth is, half the time I'm taking money using my phone as the device that accepts payment. But, you know, we all use our phones as like mini computers. So
right.
we decided that mobile option was essential. You know, you want something that's going to be able to integrate with a major bank. Now, that sounds scary, but what it means is you want this system to talk back and forth with whatever checking account you've set up for your art business. It's really that simple. You just want all of this to be sort of seamless. You know, ideally, you have a system that, you know, we thought it was important to have it do some work and estimate what your quarterly estimated tax payments would be if you're doing sales tax. And a lot of them can actually give you a report that will make a lot of sense for a small business. And what that's going to allow you to do is either hand that report over to whoever's preparing your taxes. And I think just as important, it gives you a way to look at where you are in terms of how much money you're taking in and how much you're spending. I mean, maybe you travel less, or maybe you decide there's enough money in there that, you know, you can indulge in something like, I hate to say it, Leslie, but a marketing boot camp. I mean, not
yeah.
just that. You know, the truth is you decide when to spend your money based on what that financial picture looks like. I mean, that's just being smart and responsible. You know, I think there are always options that you won't need. You know, integration with other kind of add-on features, or I see a lot of them have, you know, a corporate page, a page for your business so your employees can access it. You don't need that. Anything that, you know, sort of we think was extraneous dropped some of these options down on our list.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. Okay, so how do you determine which web-based solution's best? And, okay, I'm not saying that one of them's going to be perfect in every way. And what you need today may be different what you need 2 years from now. But the right apps for you will likely be based on a number of factors. The ability to import existing data, not manually,
yeah.
but electronically. Actual record keeping tasks and data access supported. A look and feel that you like. So this is really important, because sometimes
that's
these
huge
accounting
to me.
Programs look like, you know, foreign language and this big massive spreadsheet. And that's not going to work with me. It's not.
Just not going to work, yeah.
The number of staff that have access to it is important, because if your program is for a company that has 25 employees and you have one, maybe you don't need that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it may just be, it's kind of like having the paper airplane, the jet, or the space shuttle. You kind of need to figure out where you start and then make sure that you can kind of grow with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Customizability and scalability, which just means making it work for you personally and being able
right.
to track your expenses as an artist and not ones for a company that's in, you know, makes widgets. If
mm-hmm.
that makes any sense. The quality of the mobile apps that we talked about, the availability
Huge.
And the quality of user support, so you can get help when you need it. And then the fees, making sure
yeah.
that the cost for it isn't going to be out of, you know, yeah.
it's interesting. You know, when you talked about customizability.
Yeah.
I was talking to my daughter this morning, who has her own business. And she said that one of her favorite things about one of the programs she uses is that she invoices from it, and she's able to have, you know, it all customized so it comes with her logo and details. And I thought, isn't that smart? It, like, not only are you sending an invoice, but you're doing some marketing at the same time. So anyway, small business accounting, I think, is look, all you have to do is look online, and there are so many choices. This is a big market. There's a lot of competition, which is great, but it does make kind of narrowing down and choosing one a whole lot harder. So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we've done some of the work for you, but, you know, you need to consider what's important to you based on the things that we listed, you know, how this program is going to fit with you. And then please read the reviews, because they all have their reviews online. Take a look at, you know, any screenshots they have, because If it doesn't look like something you're going to be comfortable reading, look at another option. And I think it's really important to look for a free trial. Most all of these will give you a free trial. And I'll tell you this, if they don't offer one on their website, call and ask, or just, you know, contact us.
Yeah.
Hit the button. They will always give you 30, 60, sometimes 90 days to kind of look at it, because they know that it's only by kind of noodling around in there that you're going to be able to decide if it's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you choose now, I think we can all say, who knows what we'll need in 5 years, because everything is going to look so different. Five years ago, I couldn't have imagined what I would be doing now. But, you know, change and growth are always sort of something that occurs. It happens fast, and I don't think there's any reason to think that's going to change. You just have to pick the best match for you, where you are right now, and then just dive in, because really, if nothing else, you are going to become a lot more aware of the ins and outs of the dollars and accounting sort of tools in your business. So,
I agree. I think that's super important. Okay, what's interesting about these systems is they're almost more similar than they are different. So they're all, I mean, it's kind of like there's really one way you should be doing this. So we've got, there's a lot of systems out there that try to make it look different, but they're not that different, just so you know. And they all have to include, okay, this is, I hate this statement, but general ledger management. Basically, all that means is the ability to input your expenses and your sales. Okay, that's in English, that's what that means. Invoicing, I mean, you need to be able to pop an invoice from your computer to a client anytime you can, and then be able to, with that, track when it's paid, you know, be able to send reminders if it's not paid. And then, of course, you need to also be able to track your payment processing, which is anytime you send, you know, money out for expenses or whatever, you need to be able to track that as well.
Yeah.
It's that basic. It's really those three things. And then, because when you are looking at managing your invoicing, there are reports where you can go in and it'll show any of those invoices that had sales tax collected, and boom, you have your report. It just makes life so easier. And I'm at the point where I'm changing. I wasn't using a full blown accounting online package, and I realize, as much as I love what I use, it's not completely what I need. So aside from these features, when choosing the best accounting software, you have to consider a few other aspects. Ease of use.
Mm-hmm.
Is it easy? If it's hard, don't do it, because you'll never use it. Trust me, I know. I tried that before.
No.
Compatibility and integration. Does it work with all the little buckets you have of the ways you collect payment for your art? Make sure that that happens automatically. And security. And I think any of the major programs that we're talking about will have security and backup and offsite backup, and you don't have to worry about that. But just want to mention it anyway, because it's important.
Yeah. Well, we've certainly done a ton of research online, and what we found was that the same software programs seem to be included in just about all of the reports.
Yes.
Well, it's because they know what everybody wants.
Yeah.
And we found that the very best accounting software for small business would include some of the following options. Here we go. Number one is FreshBooks. And by the way, these are not in any order, so don't think that it's number one, therefore the best. It's just the first one. FreshBooks is the site to beat when it comes to managing and tracking invoices, time spent, and expenses for a very small business that does not need full-blown double-entry accounting. Trust me, if you don't know what double-entry accounting
you don't
is, you don't need to know. But the truth is, this is a really good basic program, and again, I recommend everybody who's interested in this get online and just take a look at it. It is so easy to figure out whether or not you like the look of it. And that's a great place to start, in my opinion.
Yeah, so look up FreshBooks and just see if you think it makes sense. The second one is called HoneyBooks. And HoneyBooks, I don't know where they come up with these names, offers amazing customer service options, and it's really great at helping you manage clients. which is super important, especially if you're doing commissions, which I thought was interesting. It's really easy on the eyes. The company is very willing to talk with buyers and discuss ways they can customize their products for artists, and it's definitely worth checking out.
I can tell you that I think HoneyBooks is the most interested in working with individual artists, the most interested I found. And they started out a very small company that was working first with photographers, and it's just grown from there. So easy on the eyes.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Love that.
Zero is another one.
But
it does it's X-E-R-O. Not Z, but X-E-R-O. And this provides double entry accounting tools. I've already told you what I think of those.
Mm-hmm.
But this competes with probably like the very best online services. What it does lack is some of the, if you have more than one person working, that would mean anyone besides you, it doesn't have like payroll and some of the reporting features that go with that. But Xero is very good if you are a Mac user. So, again, it might be another level of accounting, but I think it's worth logging in and just kind of taking a look at what it is they have to offer. Another one is called...
Can I just say, I think it's good it doesn't have the payroll feature. How many artists need that? Really? Think
well,
about
when
it.
When you stop having interns and you start having to hire assistants, you might
that's
be
true.
Looking for another option.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
true.
Listen, the way your Instagram account is growing.
Stop it.
You're going to have to get somebody just to handle it for you. I don't know. But
I doubt it, but thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you get someone
what?
To help
we
me with my DIY projects. That would be really
Seriously.
Nice. But anyway.
We can all dream. And I will say Xero does offer a free trial. So it might be nice just to sort of, you know, clear a day or two and look at these and compare. Another small one that we looked at is called Zoho Books, and I'll spell this. It is Z as in zebra, O-H-O. Now, Zoho Book Standard is a really excellent, very flexible accounting service, and it kind of challenges all the sort of big players in this sort of space, in this business space of online accounting. What it does lack, again, is an integrated payroll system. And, you know, a lot of the competitors, and I'm talking about the really big names that we'll get to, I think, very soon, have a lot of sort of third-party add-ons and different ways to enhance it. But I have to believe for anyone who's just starting out, you might not need all the bells and whistles, and you might want something simple. So, again, Zoho Books is worth looking at, very highly rated by its users.
Cool. Okay. All right. The last one is QuickBooks Online. And it's by far the most popular software. It has bare accounting needs. So QuickBooks Online, they have some different versions. They have like the space shuttle and the paper airplane, just so you know.
No.
And it offers a really comprehensive set of features for small business accounting. It's easy to use, really nice to look at as an aesthetically pleasing, and it has numerous integrated add-ons to extend its reach, one of those which is PayPal. The app syncs your PayPal transitions with QuickBooks. And once activated, this integration monitors your PayPal accounts for sales, bank transfers, and expense transactions. Hello!
That's
how amazing.
Amazing
is that? And I think I'm
going
to look at all of these. I really am. But the fact that it does that, if the other ones don't, I am 100% sold. And this QuickBooks Online program, it's mainly useful for small players like freelancers, consultants, and mom-and-pop shops. And regardless of what the income is, I think a lot of artists run their business like a mom-and-pop shop, and I'm very thankful that I do. I don't want it to be this big, complicated.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. This is a, you know. So I really think this is really exciting. And the QuickBooks software has one of the easiest interfaces and tools. It largely consists of just completing forms, and the software does the accounting for you, which I love. And it's very intuitive and user-friendly. And they do have over 1 million accountants that use the software, which is smart. But I think it's good.
I think everybody has heard of QuickBooks now. You know, it started out years ago with Quicken for taxes and all that. But they figured out, you have to know how many people are working as consultants, you know, doing their own thing, working from home. And there's, as we said, there are enough products to indicate that this is a huge market. The good news is, I think a program like QuickBooks Online has figured out that just because you're working from home doesn't mean you have an advanced degree in mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of make it easy for you. But it does come, you know, with over 40 reports. And you can print out a statement that will show you your profits and losses, kind of a balance sheet with how much money you've taken in and spent, and it will sort of analyze your cash flow. I think that I know it does have the ability to sort of manage inventory and work with budgeting. I think, again, this is where you have to decide how hard you want the program to work for you. But they offer a free trial. And I know that I think it's a 30-day free trial. And I saw when we were researching this that they, if you like it, they have a current offer of 50% off the cost of it. So, you know, I think, again, we're really recommending everybody get in there and see how these things feel as you sort of click through them.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story about Quicken. Back in the 80s when I had my first business, a friend of mine who was at Stanford, because I was living in Palo Alto, said, okay, I have this friend that started this business, and they need companies to use their accounting. Okay, this is when it was on floppy disks, just so you know. And the name of the company was Intuit, and their product was Quicken.
Gosh.
And we were the second company ever to use their product. And that's so weird. And the funniest thing about this is we used to walk down the street of University Avenue in Palo Alto and, like, turn our disks into them. And now QuickBooks is like a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar company. Isn't that weird?
You know,
I would have had half a brain.
Too bad you didn't take stock.
I know. Hello. Completely missed out on that. But that story to this day still just makes me howl. And my sister-in-law, she worked for me, and we just laugh about the fact that we would pack stuff up and walk down there with our big floppy disks and ask them, you know, okay, what do we do on this and what do we do on that? And they had like four, you know, Stanford super smart people working in this basement. And look what it is now. Incredible. I know.
Well,
it's incredible.
You know, I just want to give people an idea. I clicked on QuickBooks Online while we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, this is to let you have an idea of what it would cost. They do have this 50% off for 6 months deal going. But I'm going to tell you what the price is without the 50% off.
Mm-hmm.
For the most basic functions, it'll track your mileage, track your income, organize your expenses, maximize your tax deductions, and it will send invoices for you. They're offering right now for $5 a month, normally priced at $10 a month. So $10 a month. You know, this is where I just sort of say, really, people? And if you want to add sending estimates, but more importantly, tracking sales tax, that really jumps it up to $15 a month. $15 a month, to me, gives you everything a small business, an artist would need. So I think, and QuickBooks isn't the only one that's that affordable, but I just wanted to give folks an idea of what the cost of these things is. It's minimal. And I guarantee you, you'll get more than your money's worth out of it. So,
and in order to make one of these accounting programs work for you in an automated form, which basically means you don't have to like manually enter everything, you have to do you have to do one really important thing, and that is you need to get a credit or a debit card for your business.
Yep.
Because you can then link that account to your accounting system. And so everything you buy will automatically, boom, go flying electronically into your QuickBooks account. If you are using three different credit cards and writing checks, and you can actually do it with your checking account too, if you have a business checking account. But you need to clean it up and make this simple. And by just making those changes on the outset, you can actually then have it so much easier for you. And I have a lot of changes I need to make, but I have all the tools. I just need to change how I spend and collect money.
I think
okay,
you need
so
an
if
employee.
You're, what'd you say? You think I need an employee to help me? Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
If you saw my desk right now, you'd be like, you need 5 employees, Leslie.
You're not
okay,
alone.
So I wanted to discuss Invoice2Go for one reason. If you are a really small art business and you don't really think you need a full accounting package, you can use Invoice2Go, but it really kind of helps you mostly on the sales side. And it's something I've used for years. I think it costs like, $49 a year or something. I can't remember, and I apologize. I didn't look that up. It's not a complete accounting system. They do have Invoice2Go and Receipts2Go, but I'll tell you how it's different. But the reason why I like Invoice2Go so much is I can generate an invoice from my phone, from my computer, from my iPad. I can instantly email it to my client. If they're standing right there, I can do it, and then they can use PayPal or a credit card to pay me. Or they can send me a check. It doesn't matter. But then all of those invoices are dumped into this amazingly beautiful, simple reporting system that shows you your sales by customer, your sales by month, your sales by quarter, your sales by year, whatever it may take. And it's just a really nice way to kind of manage your invoicing process, which is something that's so important for artists to do. They do have another product called Receipts2Go, which I started using. And basically, you take a photo of the receipt, and then you calculate it in. But I'm at the point where there is no way I should be using a system like that. I need a full accounting system where it's all done electronically based on my business checking account and debit card, which I have.
Yeah.
So it's just Invoice2Go is something you can look at, I think, if you're at a point. But if you want to have a full integrated system that is pretty much done electronically, it's probably not the right thing for you to do. But it's good. And it's worth
yeah.
I've been super happy with it for many years. But come tax time, the hell I have to go through, pardon my French, not worth it. I'm going
it's not
to
worth it. And
yes.
You know, the other thing that happens is you forget a lot if you're not, you know, sort of fully working with some sort of a system. I guarantee you are going to kind of either you're going to overlook some of your deductions or you're going to forget to pay sales tax on something. And I wanted to sort of share what happened to me this last year in a good sense. I realized last year when I did my taxes that it was really important that you keep receipts. Even though you might have this all, you know, automated, you still could be in the position where the IRS says, okay, it's great,
oh, yeah.
but your number came up, so I'd like you to prove that you spent $400.99 at Dick Blick or wherever.
Yeah.
You got to
right.
keep all of those receipts. And, you know,
for
as Leslie
years.
Was just saying, yeah, I do have a dedicated credit card that is, you know, I have a bank account that's a checking account that's set up for my business, and with that comes a debit card. So if I'm buying art supplies, I always use that card. Anytime I'm doing anything that I know is a direct business expense, I use that card. That way I know it'll show up, you know, in my checking account on my statement. It's one level of
right.
backup. But having the actual paper receipt is critical. In case you
right.
ever need to produce it. And for 7 years, you're supposed to hold on to that stuff. So I'm going to be honest. I'm at Dick Blick. I'm sort of, you know, arms full. I usually
yeah.
stuff the receipt into my wallet. And then it's like,
ditto.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of that when I get home. And what I decided last year was that I needed to get a little organized, and I bought a very small accordion file. It's the size of a business envelope in terms
right.
of its... Right, and when I'm in the studio, that's where I'm bringing the art supplies, I make it a point to pull the receipts out, and I file them by month just so that I can locate one if I need to. And you know what? It was such a pleasure to basically hand that over as, you know, backup to make sure when we were going through my expenses that I hadn't missed any. Because the truth
right.
is every now and then, you know, maybe you're going to not use your business card, or maybe you will have paid cash for something or whatever. But the truth is you are responsible to keep paper backup for everything you're claiming. And if you have a dedicated spot for that, and again, I think it should be wherever it is you're making your art, put the little file folder there. I mean, honestly, put a cardboard box there. But always make sure that you're taking your receipts. And next year when you do your taxes, you'll go through them, and then you can file them for 7 years. But it was just, I know it's a little old school, but I think it's important to stress that not everything can be 100%, I mean, automated. I suppose I could, you know, scan them into a file, but I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So keep track.
Well, the one thing I do is I have a really cute little wicker basket in my office, my studio, and then I have something else in my car, and that's where receipts go. They always go in the same place. Yeah.
It's so funny. Just the little things like that will actually make it so much simpler.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention one more app that I use on my phone. It's called Mile IQ. And it's the coolest thing in the world because somehow it knows when you're in a car. So I don't know how it does that because I don't walk fast enough, I guess. But when I'm in a car, Mile IQ automatically tracks my trip. And it will say I started at my house and I went to here. And then if you stop and do something and get back in your car, it'll say you went from that place to wherever. And it automatically tracks these, and then once a week you can, it shows a little map too. It's not hard to figure out where you were. You should be able to remember. You can swipe personal or business. I used this all in 2016 and my mileage went up by 400%. And it was 100% trackable, confirmed, and legit. And I just wasn't tracking my miles before. The only weird thing, sometimes it tracks, like if you're in a rental car, it tracks your miles, so you got to be careful because technically you can't write that off. You can write your rental car expenses off. But it's so cool. And I highly recommend you look into Mile IQ. It costs a couple bucks, but it's totally worth it.
That is great.
Yes,
I was
it's
wondering
really
who
cool.
was talking about that. It was you. Okay.
It was me.
You. Worth knowing.
Okay, so one of the things we talked about was using card readers. And card readers are something artists use all the time. In fact, I see them a lot at retail stores too, which is kind of funky. But there's one with PayPal called PayPal Now. Is that what it's called? I can't remember.
I think so.
It's a little blue swipe thing that you stick in your phone that you can swipe a credit card and charge through your PayPal account. There's also one that's a square reader. It's the white one. You can buy both of these little things at Target, at the Apple store, or get them for free. But it's just great because it enables you to take credit cards, and when you do, the person signs it, and it's just a wonderful tool for small businesses. Just so you know, QuickBooks integrates with both.
I know.
Automatically.
You're gonna be looking.
Yeah. So it integrates with Square, and if you use Square but you have a PayPal account, that's fine. It doesn't matter. But I wanted to make sure you knew that. And it's a great way to accept credit card payment using your phone or your iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
And why they work so well is the money is immediately deposited into your PayPal account or directly into your checking account.
Yep.
And if you keep your finances clearly separated, then it'll get deposited into your business account because you just set it up that way. And then it'll also go into QuickBooks. And I didn't spend the time to look at the other four accounting systems we recommended to see if that integrates. I kind of have a feeling it probably does, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I think they do. I'm pretty sure they do. It's sort of an essential tool.
Yes.
You know, if you're not taking the money, then there's no business to deal with. Yeah.
So I know it's really, really a great tool, really important. And how nice at the end of the year to be able to just turn over your accounting file to whoever does your taxes.
Honestly.
Oh God! Instead of me like printing out pages of reports from PayPal trying to determine what the expense bucket or income bucket is that it goes into. Ah.
It's amazing. I know that I use the PayPal, the little triangle, the blue triangle, to accept payments.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the fact that if someone wanted a receipt, I could get their email address and send it. It also means I got their email address, which is nice for future marketing. And, you know, I think PayPal is a company that seems like they want to help you in any way that they can.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a, I'm trying to think, they have an invoicing tool as well as sending a receipt.
They do.
So, yeah, so clearly that's worth investigating.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think they take 2.9% of the sale, which, frankly, I'll take that over a bad check any day of the week.
And with all those ridiculous scams that are out there now, it blows me away that there's still people that do that same scam where they're going to send you a cashier's check, which is fake, and they're going to overpay you for shipping, and you're
yep.
going to refund the money and ship it off
yep.
to God only knows where. I mean, I can't believe that still works. You know, and they're from Nigeria at the same time. I mean, hello.
Yeah. I just got one of those scamming ones where they
yeah,
named which paintings they wanted, and I really thought, is this real or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I read it, and then I realized the grammar and syntax was off.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I thought,
there's
the clue. Delete.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everyone
I just feel bad if someone with bad grammar tries to buy one of my paintings. Because I'll start treating them like a scammer.
Well, you got to protect yourself.
I know. Okay, so the bottom line is you need to spend some time now. Okay, it's April. You might have to manually enter 3 months, but I have this sign in my entryway that says something like, oh, gosh, how can I forget? How can I forget what it is? Something like you'll wish that you – a year from now, you'll wish that you started this today.
Oh.
That, to me, is so powerful, and it is so important. And this show completely follows under that kind of message because there are some great accounting systems out there that can make your life so much easier for a very small investment. And almost all of them have free trials. In fact, I think they all do. So you can try them out and figure out what makes sense. And it's worth thinking about right now what you can do to do this so much easier and more accurately. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to the IRS, you can't be wrong. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, yeah.
That's
if you're
not
selling,
an option.
I mean, that $400 bar is awfully low. Everyone needs to sleep well at night. So I think doing a little responsible accounting is worthwhile.
Yeah, and there are so many expenses you can have to offset your income. And my accountant every year tells me you need more expenses. You need more expenses. So I'm working on that. I think this year I'm not going to have that problem. But the other thing is ask around, talk to some of your fellow artists, and say, hey, what do you use and how do you like it? And ask the specific questions. Can I use Square? Can I use PayPal? What happens when someone pays me by check? I mean, all of those things, how does that happen automatically? And this is the thing that every artist probably lacks the most in doing, don't you think? The whole
financial
side? Maybe it's
and,
just me. But I
well,
just
no.
think it's so
we
true.
All hate the money part of it.
Yeah.
You know, we wish we could.
We like,
you
we
know,
like
magically,
getting the money part of it. We just
we
don't
do.
Like tracking it.
Yeah, well. I'm a firm believer in pay what you owe in terms of taxes, be responsible, and move on. It will take less space in your brain.
Yeah.
We do have a handy reference for some light reading. I found this in doing my research. There's a fellow named Peter Jason Riley, R-I-L-E-Y, who he's just revised a book that he wrote. It's called The New Tax Guide for Writers, Artists, Performers, and Other Creative People. It's published by Focus Publishing. I saw it on Amazon. And really interesting work they've done there. Just to tell you, they have an award-winning website, which is dedicated to people that are working in the arts. And that web address is www.artstaxinfo.com. And I'm going to spell it. It's ArtStaxInfo, artstaxinfo.com. And the most interesting thing I sent to Leslie, look at this worksheet. There's a worksheet that you can see on their website. It's for painters, photographers, and other visual artists. And it lists expenses that are, you know, approved IRS expenses. And let me tell you, there are so many things out there that I am sure you are not thinking of as a business expense. And I won't read them all, but there are things like museum memberships, tickets to special exhibits, gallery interviews for potential shows, your parking fees and tolls, the printing of your show announcements, cards, modeling fees. Amazing, right? And it goes on and on and on. It goes into equipment. It goes into your communication costs. But things that I think we don't necessarily realize are directly related to the success of our business as artists.
That's right.
And I highly recommend everybody kind of take a look at that. You know, they've got a nice watermark stamp on it, so you'll know it's from them. But more power to them for doing this work for us. And this may be one of the best tools I think I've come across. And between this and a good accounting system, I feel like, you know, you can improve the sort of financial part of your business with, would you say, relatively little work, Leslie?
If you set it up, absolutely. I mean, if you get it so it happens automatically for you, oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine the amount of time I would not have to spend.
Yeah. This is pretty amazing. So
yeah,
I feel like this
incredible.
Was a grown-up show.
It was. You know, we grew up a lot today, Margaret. So I have no idea where I'm going to be next week. I'm going to be sitting in this chair, I hope, which means we're in the NCAA championship playoffs, or I'm going to be in New Zealand, and we'll figure out what the heck we're doing, Margaret. Who knows? But, yeah, should be interesting.
It's all
we
good.
May miss the show. Well, hopefully not, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, we'll get it together. All right.
We will.
Well, I'm gonna go on there and I'm gonna fool around with some of these free trials and see. I'm gonna see if I can't make a commitment in the next week to one of these systems.
Wonderful.
I feel like this will make my life better. So thank you. Great topic.
You know what? Great show. When I mentioned to you, oh, wait, we have to do this show this month, and you said, oh, let's do it this week, I just got that sense of dread. You know that feeling of, I don't want to. And then I was like, no, we have to do it because who knows where I am the next 2 weeks. So I'm so glad we did it. I feel like I've lifted a weight off my shoulder by doing this research and looking into it. And the key is the fact that I realize with a minimal amount of effort, this is going to be huge.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We're going to get it together. All right. Well, what's the name of your son's team? I should say go...
Okay, he goes to UC Irvine. They're playing in the conference championships against the number one team in the nation. We're number five. Okay, I'm embarrassed to tell you what their mascot is for UC Irvine because it's really kind of hysterical.
Just
it's
say
the
it.
Anteaters. It's only
go
it's
Anteaters.
Only, it's only second bad. I'm sorry for people that went to UC Santa Cruz because they're the banana slugs. But we did beat UCLA on Saturday night. This is Division I. This is the big league. So Michael's a senior, and I hope and pray this is not his last game tonight. But it's been an amazing season, and I'm so excited. And we're going to beat the number one team. I really feel like we will. I really do.
All right. What time is the game?
It's 7:30 California time. So when you're up at 10:30, and it's starting.
And how long does the game last?
It depends. Hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay.
Depends
I know
on how many
nothing
sets
about volleyball, but I'll tell you what, I'll be looking at the score.
It's so exciting. It's a really wonderful, wonderful game.
Well, enjoy it and go Anteaters. Bye.
Bye, Margaret. Happy week. Talk to you later.
Good luck.
Bye.
Hello?